Cody.
Well, I can't.
Danny.
It's just that I can't do this holding a thing at the same time.
Do you want to speak as well?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll hold it.
Sorry?
This is all.
Yeah.
I'm Dave, this is mine.
Anyway, look, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of the church. All right. Community. What did he say? Do this in remembrance of
me.
So do this in remembrance of me. Paul says that whenever you break bread, drink wine, whenever we have communion, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That kind of means that you remember and kind of show off.
Yeah, sure.
Show off God, Jesus dying on the cross for our sins and rising again. And that's the gospel. That's the good news. Jesus came to earth, died on the cross to take our sin, and he rose again. And because of that, we have new life. Now, there's a load of other stuff we do. There's all sorts of other bits and pieces during the week. We have our lives to live. But you know, it is easy, if you're not careful, to put all those things first and let them take over.
Yeah.
It's particularly easy for that to happen in a church.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting. My son rang me up day before yesterday, and he said to me, he was a bit concerned about one of the places that he goes to, and he said, they're talking a lot about what they do in the church and what they should be doing and this, that and the other. And they seem to have lost what it's all about at the moment. They've lost their focus. Because, funny enough, I think Jesus should be at the centre. He's the one that matters. He's what it's all about. And for the Apostle Paul, Jesus and the Gospel were at the centre of all that he wrote about, all that he did. That was the motivation for him. That's what it was all about. It was about Jesus. And he continually said, I preach Jesus and him crucified. And he took it for granted, if you like, that Jesus rose again and was alive. But it was Jesus all the time. It was Jesus. And it's interesting, isn't it? But the nearest thing to a church activity that Jesus actually institutes himself and starts up himself, this wonderful, humble man, Jesus, puts himself at the centre. This is about me. This is to remember me.
Yeah.
And to remember me giving my body to you. And that's what it's about. We're here because of Jesus and what he achieved with his life, death, and resurrection. That's what we're here for. One of King David's psalms they call them in the Bible, has really touched me recently. It's meant a lot to me. He says this, it's just the line that's really got me. I, by your great love, can come into your house. So King David, who'd done all sorts of cool stuff, he says, it's because of your great love, God, that I can come and come before you. He didn't have a church like this. They didn't have a temple at that time in Jerusalem. They had a kind of portable church, if you like, called the Tabernacle. And David recognised that the only thing that brought him before God was God's love. Without that, David felt he was nothing. And that's King David, you know, the one who knocked off Goliath and did all sorts of amazing stuff. But for him, God's love was what was important. I, by your great love, can come into your house. And it reminds me that in John's Gospel, it says this. It says, God so loved the world that he sent his only son. In fact, there's a John also wrote a letter, and this is what he said in the letter, and I'll read it. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. I love that bit.
Yes.
Live through him. What do you live through? See, Jesus is life. He goes on to say this. This is love. Not that we love God. That's important. Okay? That we love God. We do. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son for an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And elsewhere it says, God shows his love for us while we were still doing all sorts of wrong stuff and couldn't care less about him. Christ died for us. That's my version, by the way. Because it's true. It's true. When I love some of the stuff we've been singing today, you know, about God holding on to us and looking out for us even when we're going away from him. I don't know about you, but personally, I mess up sometimes. You know, I do. I'm not proud of it, but it's the truth. You know, I mess things up. I don't always do what I should do. And I certainly let God down quite a lot. You know. But you know what? He comes after me. He comes looking for me more than I look for him. He loves me so much that he doesn't want to let me go. Like Dave was saying this morning, he doesn't want to let me go. And last week, when we had the leaders' weekend away, God gave me a picture. And it was a picture for the leaders, and it was a picture for the church. Something I saw in my mind. And I don't know if Sam can actually get it up on the screen. He was doing a sterling job this morning, being all technical and things like that. So we'll see if we can get it up. Right, Sam? Yeah, there it is. I'll turn the light out so you can see. So I kind of knocked this up because I didn't know kind of how to explain it. But the picture was that as what God wants us to do is to focus on him. And the picture was that of our church being like a mirror, the roof of our church being like a mirror, set out at 45 degrees, that's why it's sharp, the roof actually is up there. And in the kind of vision I was getting, that as we focus on him and relate to him, then that reflects out to our community and we become Christ to those around us. And it was to do with where our focus and where our hearts are. And if our hearts are with Jesus, then we can give Jesus to our community. Thanks. Well done. He's ace. He's good. And that's why I ask that we see Jesus be the centre. Because I love that song. Okay, it's not the trendiest Christian song at the moment, but I tell you what, it's 100% true.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus be the centre of our lives. And we must never lose sight of what we're actually about. We have a little saying, keep the main thing the main thing. You know, it's not quite in the right context, but Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. All the rest of it follows. Hi, Veronica. Take a seat. Yeah. And I just feel so much at the moment that Jesus needs to be the centre of our church. He needs to be the centre of our lives. And I feel we need to be encouraged about what Jesus has done for us and how much he loves us. You know? It's difficult. I can understand sometimes why Dave does that, you know, and jumps up and down. I'm not so good at it as he is. I reckon he must have something in his shoes or something. But, you know, that's because sometimes you get excited about stuff. Because Jesus is so wonderful and so great. And when we worship, we are, or should be, putting Jesus in the centre of our lives. As we grow, our relationship with Christ and his presence in us grows, we as a church and as individuals, we carry his presence into our community. Jesus in us, as we go around, and it's amazing. Privilege that Jesus comes to dwell in us by his Spirit, and we can take that around to the people around us. Do you know, me on my own, I'm not that great. You know, I'm just Bob, and I can do this, that, and the other. But with Jesus in me, I become something else. I become something supernatural. You know? I'm actually a superhero. You didn't realise that, did you? I'm not going to strip off and shave what's underneath. Well, you wouldn't like that. Don't even go there, Mark. Okay? And you could upset Jordan on his birthday as well. It would be so wrong. But you know, I'm a superhero. Because I have supernatural powers. Because I'm connected up to God. The one who created the world. The one who looks after the world.
Yes.
And I have got a relationship with Jesus. Do you know my favourite bit of singing today is when I can put my hand up and say, I am a child of God.
Yeah. Yes.
No one can take that away. I am a child of God. And as a child of God, sometimes I don't know what kids do, you know, they run off. You know? You want your child, don't you? I mean, it's quite funny watching. You know, as children begin to grow up, you want them to be able to walk, don't you? You know? So they start talking, and that's fine, okay? But then suddenly you find that the little toddlers, they can run. And sometimes they can run faster than you. In the wrong direction, the way that you don't want to go. And God, I think sometimes, we're a bit like that. We start running down the road, God's coming up, and he gets us, and takes us back, and says, where are you off to? Come on.
Yeah.
He so loves us. And I also wanted to say this, that because Dave was saying this earlier on with a group of people. Who's on the ministry team of this church? Put your hands up if you're on the ministry team. I'm waiting.
Hands right up.
You're getting him now. Yeah. Every hand should be up. Do you know what? You are all in the ministry team.
Yeah.
Because you're all superheroes.
Yes.
And as you get closer to Jesus and have him in your life, not only do you take him out to the community, but when you come in here, you bring him in as well. You know, we pray for God's presence among us. You know, we can bring God's presence in here.
Yeah.
You know, when we come, I'm blessed by the person speaking out the front, but I'm equally blessed when someone shows me love or helps me. Emma got advice from a couple of people about sleep. My daughter's Emily as well, and I try and forget the name. This is what it is. I'm done.
That's right.
We're supposed to have Christmas at our place this year. I won't get any stuffing, will I? Emily got help from people last week. We're here to bless each other because we've all got Jesus. And so we share that with each other as well as sharing with the people outside. Hey, here's news to you. I need you. I need each one of you. Each one of you is special. Each one of you is wonderful. God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. He cares about you. He loves you. And therefore, hey, you're special. You're important. And you're important to me. You've got a responsibility to look after me. And to look after Sam. Scary thought. It's true. And everybody here. Because we're all together in this, with Jesus at the center. If you focus on him, that will most naturally go out to other people. Because if you've got a heart of Jesus, you've got everything you need. Jesus said this, he said, because I believe that love and life come together in Jesus, okay? And that's what our world needs. He is who our world needs. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he doesn't actually say, and I love this joke, it doesn't say Horizon is the way, the truth, and the life. It doesn't say Bob is, doesn't say babies, doesn't say... Well, you know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way for us to get life, and he's the truth. In a world full of so-called fake news, we can trust him. And elsewhere he says, I come to give life and give it in all its fullness. Yeah. I mean, that's what we want to bless Jordan with on his 18th birthday, that full life. That life that means so much that we can take to others. I want to read a passage from John's first letter. And I've got too many things up here. Never mind. And this is cool. Well, I think it is. That which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. That's Jesus, the word of life. And that's John's name for Jesus here. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus. We write this to make our joy complete. Jesus is the word of life. Our lives are to be lived through him and with him. He is what it's all about. And that life he gives, it's a quality of life that goes on forever into all eternity. I got a glimpse of eternal life kind of last week, taking Lottie to school. I'm always excited taking Lottie to school because you don't quite know what happens. Because sometimes she trots along in front of me, and I can see her head is down and she's thinking about stuff. Or she's got a whole story going on in her head about something. And then other times she will chat to me about things like the various, how effective prune juice is. It's one of my whole story that came out once. I'm not going into it yet, but on her behalf, I can recommend prune juice. That's all I'm saying. But also, last week, she was going to go to a birthday party. So we got talking about birthdays. So this is quite relevant, you know, with the birthdays today. So we're talking about birthday parties, and I said, do you know what? I said, I don't usually have a birthday party. When I'm 70, I think I'll have a birthday party. I know I've got a long way to go. I wish. I said, that would be my next big birthday party, when I'm 70. And she said to me, out of nothing, she says, but it's okay, Grandad, because if you die before then, you can have your party in heaven. I don't know if she'd be talking to my doctor or something. Yeah, like it's not professor. Why don't you know, you see? Because actually, I bet this, you know, no offense. Elaine could probably put on a good party for me. I bet Jesus would put on a better one. Just saying. Okay? Eternal life. Eternal. I've got something that's come from Jesus that's a special gift. And you've all got it as well. We're all superheroes, you know? And let's put Jesus at the centre of our lives. I didn't become a Christian because of the church. Until I became a Christian, when I was just come up to 19. And I'd never, I'd been in churches about probably a dozen times in my life up to that point. You know, because you get go to cousins' weddings, stuff like that. I've been to a few of those. And when I was younger, I've probably told some of you before that I like watching football matches. Some people would say because I'm a Fulham fan, I'm not really watching football matches. To get the money, I found out that. If at St. Peter's, if you're in a church choir, okay, and you did a wedding, you got 2 and 6 for a wedding. Trust me, if you'd sold money, it was quite a lot. And they used to do about 3 or 4 weddings in one go. It was like one after another. They didn't go, you only sung one hymn, and the Lord is my shepherd. That's all they got. It was like a done deal. And so that was the only reason for me going to church. So, and then when I got a rise in my dad's pools round that I used to do for him, that went. So my only experience of church, it was really limited. So I certainly didn't become a Christian because of church. And then I didn't become a Christian because of the Bible. In fact, I knew a few of the stories from the Bible, but when I did become a Christian, I thought I'd read the Bible, because it seemed like a good idea, and I got a modern translation of the New Testament, and I started reading it. And I'm quite a good reader, so I read Matthew's Gospel one night, then the next night I read Mark's Gospel. I was slightly put out. And then I read Luke's Gospel the next night. I was even more put out. I mean, I paid good money for that book, and they seem to repeat the same story over and over. Well, they're the same. And John's was a bit different, but John's Gospel was, again, And that's how little I knew about the Bible. Like, I wasn't going to take the book back and ask for my money back in the shop. But it was, you know, I didn't know anything about anything like that. What happened to me is that I found Jesus. Yeah. I found him.
Yeah.
I didn't find a church. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't even know Christians. I'd certainly never been to anything like this, or seen anything, or even knew anything like this. And I didn't know that, you know, you've got ministers like Dave or anything like that, and so I wasn't put off in any way whatsoever. Jesus at the centre. He was the reason I became a Christian.
Yes.
I have to remember all the time to put him first.
Yes.
To put him at the centre of my life.
Yes.
It's great studying the Bible. It's really important. It's great doing church stuff and serving. It's great being, you know, worship and all the rest of it. But Jesus, in Revelation, he said this to the church. The church in Ephesus, this is what he said to them. He said, you've done this, you've done that, you were brilliant at this, brilliant at that. There's one thing I've got against you. You have lost your first love. They'd stopped making the main thing the main thing. They were doing everything else, but they've forgotten Jesus. And they've forgotten their love for Jesus. They've forgotten why they were doing all these things. So this morning, my message is really simple. Jesus at the centre of it all. Jesus at the centre of our lives. Jesus at the reason for our lives.
Yeah.
Living through Jesus. Jesus at the centre of our church. And if we get it right, Jesus at the centre of our world. And our community.
Right.
Yeah? Because this is a broken world and people do so much to try and change it. But we have a message, a gospel that can really change hearts and minds and lives and can transform our community and our world as long as Jesus is at the centre. I've finished there because there's no more to say. I just like to pray, so if we just bow our heads, and then I'll hand over to Dave. Father God, please, please, please help us to know Jesus more and more every day.
Yeah.
Help us to put him at the centre of our lives. Father God, we open ourselves to be transformed by Jesus, to be changed by him, to have him living in us in such a way that we can change our world and that we can be Jesus to each other. Father God, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.